Today's Stripe Show podcast is brought to you by About Golf Simulators.
And we're back, Stripe Show podcast on a Monday. I'm your host, Travis Fulton. Thank you for making us part of your day. If you are watching right now on YouTube at Travis Fulton Golf, you will see me in my studio right now with Tiger Woods in the backdrop playing. I wish he was live, but David Ledbetter's on his way. He'll be live here in the studio momentarily, but this is Tiger's swing that he posted last week. I want to take a peek at that here for a second, give you some of my thoughts on what I'm seeing with Tiger's swing, and then also what's coming up, not only on today's podcast, but also the rest of the week. Big week for the Stripe Show. Thank you for being here. Really good numbers last week. Operation Baby Draw, that was a big hit. For those that tuned into that last week, if you didn't, go back, take a listen. I took you through Operation Baby Draw in basically my training program that's online at travisfultongolf.com. And really just kind of how I see it in building this draw pattern from taking care of the club face to the swing shape and how the club shaft works, the club head, the body, and just kind of layering it in piece by piece to where you get to a point where you can hit it from the inside, face slightly closed, and hit a little baby draw. And I think more specifically than that is when you get to the end is how the iron swing is different than the driver swing. So thank you for those that purchased the program. I really appreciate it. Some of you went ahead and did the bundle, which is awesome. There's Operation Drip Fade in there. There's Total Driving. There's Strokes Gained Short Game. I did a little 150 yards on in the studio. So some interesting things there to kind of piece through as you approach the fall slash winter month. Everybody at some point needs to learn how to draw the ball. Now, someone that knows how to draw it and that's been through that is Tiger Woods. He's a player that doesn't want to overdraw it. All good players have went through a period where they've overdrawn it. They've hit that big push hook, and then they try to find that middle ground and hit that little fade. So they really can find neutral, but be able to work it with a little draw or a little fade. That's a very high caliber player. Going to get to Tiger swing here in a second. Today's podcast, I'm going to share with you an interview that I did with Matt Gogol, who is on PGA Tour Champions now and getting some status. Matt was a former Golf Channel guy that I knew a little bit. Also, just a great broadcaster on CBS Sports. He was a part of that team for a long time. After taking a step away from his playing career, Matt was a very good player. I think he's second on the all-time wins list when it comes to the Korn Ferry Tour. At the time, it was the Nike Tour. And then he got into the professional ranks, had one win at Pebble Beach, but then went into made that transition to on course and walking with the players. A terrific mind, very thoughtful, understands the game, not only on the golf course, but off. I think he can look at it objectively as well and really articulate that. So it was great to catch up with Matt. I'm going to air you the conversation that I had with Matt at Furyk and Friends over the weekend. It was in town here. Brett Quigley got the win. And I sat down with Matt at the Vistar Patriots Outpost, which is a fantastic tent that sits out there on 16 and 17. It was really cool to see all the veterans, active military, that were rolling through the Patriots Outpost that's put on by Vistar. And of course, we're doing our hashtag Honor Your Hero again with Vistar, something we did last year. We got a great response for that. Go to my website, click on Partners, and click on Vistar. You'll see where you can nominate your hero. It can be an active military, can be a veteran. This is really important to me and something that I'm really honored to do with Vistar. Hashtag honor your hero. I'll be reading some of those on air as well. They got all kinds of really cool prizes and things they're going to be giving the military. So please go do that and nominate that special person. It's out there over the weekend with Matt Gogol. I'm going to share you that conversation that I had with him. He had some interesting things to say now about Steve Stricker in particularly as it pertains to the Ryder Cup. So I hope you give that a listen. All right, let's get the Tiger swing here. I know I've got it up in the simulator. It's not great video quality that came across, but I did make the statement that, look, this is my least favorite swing of Tiger. All right, and it's not a, I'm not being critical. I'm not. I am not criticizing Tiger Woods' swing. I'm just making the statement that after all of these comebacks that we've seen, and all of these golf swings, let's face it, that we've seen from Tiger Woods over the years, this is my least favorite. Now, full context, this is, he's hitting a wedge. This is a little, you know, three-quarter wedge shot. So you can't, like, take away, I guess, everything from just a little short wedge shot. But I've seen Tiger Woods hit enough shots. I look at so many swing videos, as you know, and share my thoughts with him. Oftentimes, I'm conversing with the coach itself. But watching Tiger and understanding all of the patterns that he has, I mean, to me, when I look at it, it kind of reminds me of my own swing, to be quite honest with you, which is not a compliment whatsoever. But he's definitely hunched down, right? I mean, you can see him kind of hunched down. I don't know if he's protecting his leg or his back or his knee or what have it. But it's not exactly the most athletic set of position that you've ever seen. The thing that really just stands out to me is that when he takes it back, and you'll notice to the top, it's a three-quarter swing, but that shaft just gets very vertical and very short. You can just tell the spine is kind of staying down in flexion. There's not this, you know, really healthy turn where the spine's opening up, the right hip's opening up, and he's, you know, really kind of lengthening out a little bit, an aggressive type of turn. Again, three-quarter in nature. But I'm not sure I've seen Tiger get to a position where his hands, and you look at it here, his hands get to the right shoulder and that shaft is very vertical. I mean, Tiger's always been a player who has width out here and then that shaft is rotating to this position. Now, it's rotated to different angles, but I haven't seen where it's just kind of here in vertical, all right? Now, I'm not going to label it that it's starting to look like the old man swing, but it's certainly not as dynamic. It's not as athletic that we've seen from Tiger Woods in the past, and understandably so on what this guy has went through with his body and his back and his knee and his leg, et cetera, et cetera. So, look, if anybody can come back and be competitive again, it's Tiger Woods. And I hope he does. And I hope that he continues to get healthy. I hope the leg continues to get stronger and he can definitely shift his weight a little bit. I hope all of those things. But when you look at comebacks and you look at Tiger swing and you look at him and you compare him, and that's just something that I like to do and share my opinion, not my favorite. All right. So let's hope Tiger continues on the track to getting healthy, getting stronger, and we start seeing resemblance of that Tiger Woods swing that has been so, so productive over the years. All right, just a few thoughts there on Tiger Woods swing. We've got a really good week this week coming up. Keith Stewart is live from Las Vegas next week. Lexi Thompson is in the field. So we'll give you all of our best bets there. How about Ben Griffin? I got you into a top 20 this week, good odds. I also had him to win. bogeyed the last hole to get into that playoff and lose, but I'm over it. Don't worry about it. I'm over it. Give you our best bets tomorrow at the Shriners. Keith Stewart live from Las Vegas, hopefully staying out of trouble. Wednesday, I'm going to share with you this podcast that we're shooting today in the studio. We're going to have a live audience. David Ledbetter will be here, one of the all-time greats, a friend of mine. He is driving up to spend the day with me here. How cool is that? Dream come true. Love David Ledbetter. Love his team. What a career that he's had. We're going to be talking about a lot of things, but in particularly the backswing and really just kind of going through some of the things that happen in the backswing. He's got his device called the Straightaway. More information on this on Wednesday's pod. If it's something you've been looking to get, go ahead and wait until Wednesday's pod. Really cool tool that really gets the club started back properly. I'm very big on the very first move of the backswing. We had a conversation this morning as he was driving up here, and he was sharing some really interesting stories about Mo Norman and the times that he got to talk golf swing with him that we'll be talking about as well. So you'll see the entire podcast with David Ledbetter on Wednesday, and then I'm working on Chris Como, one of today's great young teachers, for Thursday as well. So a great week. We're going to be talking instruction. We're going to be looking at more video. Tiger's on his way back. That makes me excited that he's swinging. I just hope it starts to get a little more dynamic than what we're... Okay, anyway, enough with that. All right, take you out to Farrick and Friends. Good conversation here with a very bright mind from the Vistar Patriot Outpost with Matt Gogel.
Hack Motion is an innovative wrist analysis sensor and app that measures players' wrist and hand movement in the golf swing. With audio feedback and different drill modes, it offers the capability to improve players' wrist mechanics in the golf swing to provide a better club face control and impact position. Hack Motion can be used for both full swing and putting to cover all golf shots. Hack Motion is used by some of the top golf coaches today around the world. Visit hackmotion.com.
Right here, Vistar Credit Union Patriot Outpost and Mr. Matt Gogel, thanks for joining us.
Yeah,
here.
You bet.
Good round today. You're playing well. Four under.
Yeah.
Inside four, the top 20.
Yeah. You know, golfers are never happy, right? Yeah. I've left a couple shots the first day and at least three shots out there today, even with some under par scores. Yeah. So, you know, I'm pleased with the way I'm playing, but you know, always like to be a couple more under, and I think I'm gonna have to shoot really low tomorrow. Yeah. Everything's gonna have to go my way tomorrow.
It's funny, I was walking up the fairway, and there's Ernie Els standing in the middle of the fairway, and he's going like this. I'm like, that's Ernie Els. Yeah. Standing in the middle of the fairway, looking at his wrist and his club, and he like even looked back to his face. It just never ends. I mean, this is a guy that one of the best players of our time,
that's
and
right.
He's still just out there tinkering and grinding and trying to find it. Never ends, does it?
Never ends. You're always trying to make sure. I mean, we've all hit a million golf balls by this point in our lives, right? Ernie's probably 54. I'm 52. Mm-hmm. I don't even hit balls much after the round, just to save energy, because nothing's really going to change. Mm-hmm. But you're always thinking, you know, the last couple weeks for me, I've made a little bit of a grip change.
Okay.
Strengthened my left hand a little bit, and I'm just controlling the club base at impact. Ernie's trying to check positions if he's out in the fairway, just trying to make sure he's working on something. We're always working on something.
So you go stronger left hand, which is going to get the face a little bit more closed, effectively, usually. Do you feel like you just can turn and hit it and not manipulate it as much?
That's probably the best way to describe it.
Okay.
So when I was a junior golfer,
okay,
and we all had heavy equipment, and you know, dating ourselves here, but persimmon woods and heavy equipment, junior golfers are nothing like they are today. Mm-hmm. My son's 19 years old, but he started with those clubs that stack as you get taller.
Yep. Mm-hmm.
They get US longer
kids,
and heavier.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. US kids.
Yeah.
So they learn how to swing the club fast at a young age, and it matriculates up to the kids that are on the tour that are 24 that have 190 mile an hour ball speed, right, 125 plus club head speed.
Mm-hmm.
We never had that. A big guy could hit the ball long, but really it was all about timing. You look at the best players in my generation or just ahead of me, and even go from like Tom Watson, Curtis Strange, Ben Crenshaw, mm-hmm, and then go to my generation. It wasn't until Tiger Woods. Freddie Couples hit it long, Davis Love hit it long.
There are a few.
But really the golfer body was 5'9", 5'10", and now the athlete's in it, so there's a lot more speed in it. But if you get back to when you say a stronger grip, I had a strong grip, not Azinger strong.
Yeah.
But I was stronger as a junior golfer, and then it got more neutral as I got older. But if you look at like Zach Johnson, who still plays with a really,
very
really
strong
grip, you're effectively, if the viewer's watching this, if you got a strong left grip, you're effectively already released at impact. Mm-hmm. So you don't have to rotate through your hands as much. So for me to strengthen my left hand just a little bit, it's not much.
Yep.
I'm not releasing the club head with my hands as much. I'm just turning.
Yeah, it doesn't take much though at your level. I mean, if you just tweak, I mean, you can sense, okay, I gotta be a little different at the bottom, right?
Mm-hmm.
To just that little subtle change, which for most people that are listening, you know, making the grip a little stronger, getting the face a little more, you know, a little more shut, it's gonna help them swing a little more from the inside, et cetera, et cetera. For you, a better player, it's just getting the face more prepared where you don't have to, you know, manipulate
at impact.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah. I want to go back to what you said about Phil and Ernie and even like Phil. Like those guys, they weren't necessarily trying to swing as hard as they can. They just kind of naturally had speed. Where in today's era, do you find, Matt, that like these guys are, I teach a lot. I mean, you have kids trying to swing hard immediately. They do speed training.
They're
bigger athletes.
That's right.
They're stronger.
That's right.
And so then it's like, okay, I've got my ball speed up. Now I got to figure out how to, you know, make it go straight. That wasn't how it was in your day, was it?
No, not so much, because you just, no one really, I mean, 200 on the tour in the 80s, 285 yards was the longest driver on the tour.
Right.
285 yards, you're not going to be on the tour in this era. But it's I would say at this, any junior golf or anybody, boys, girls, swing at it hard within reason. Swing your natural swing.
Yeah.
And then you'll figure out straight as you get older.
Yeah. You missed media? You were great. I mean, I
enjoyed the people I worked with. We had a really great team.
Yeah.
A lot of fun. And, but it was...
I get Costas on once in a while.
Oh, do you?
Yeah, we kick it around. Yeah. And he, you know, he usually irons me out on a couple things that I said on, you know, Twitter or whatever it's called these days.
Because he's never wrong.
No, I mean, he's,
because Peter Costas is never wrong.
I texted him on right after the Ryder Cup, and I said, hey, you want to kick it around? He's like, I'm playing in a tournament on Monday. I said, yeah, go play. Don't worry about me.
Yeah. You know?
So he's starting to play a little bit more golf, which I think he enjoys. But, you know, I worked at Golf Channel for a little bit, morning drive, all that kind of stuff. And, you know, when you work in that energy from live TV, you know, and you work with good people, you miss it. You know, and it's a different kind of energy that you get. And you did it for so many years and so well at CBS Sports. Like, hey, before you go, I got to ask you, Ryder Cup. What happened? I mean,
well, it's the same story, right? They made more putts than we did the first 2 days. And team golf's a different dynamic. We don't play. They don't play it that much, too. It's not like the Europeans are always playing team golf.
Yeah.
And camaraderie, we have camaraderie.
Yeah.
I mean, those guys are all buddies. And you know, there's different personalities in a team, both Europe and USA. I think the if I had to look back and I had a voice, which I didn't, I'll make it clear. I would say two stories real quick. When Trevor Immelman was captain of the President's Cup team, and I was thinking about coming out to play the Champions Tour, but anyway, we're having dinner one night because we're doing TV, we're doing some event. I said, let me ask you a question. If Retief or Ernie wins like four Champions Tour events in a row, would you consider, because I know where you're going with this. Yeah, I would. And to me, when I was doing TV and only focused on the PGA Tour, I thought, you know, the Champions Tour old guys are, you know, some of them can still play, but, you know, they're out there just kind of kicking it. I'm blown away how competitive it is.
Yeah.
I mean, I'm playing well, and I'm not even sniffing the lead this week. Mm-hmm. You got to play great.
Yeah.
These guys, the top 40 guys are dialed in. To my point that Steve Stricker's played 15 events, he's won six, he's finished second five times. And all 15, he's been in the top 10.
Yeah.
You're playing world-class golf.
Yep.
And in team competition, as straight as he hits it, as many greens as he hit, and as how well he putts and how well he wedges, he would have been a great captain's pick.
Interesting.
He would have been, I think, a great asset to that
team. Interesting.
Not only leadership, but he's playing so well. If you ask Steve, I bet he'd say he's probably playing the best golf of his life.
Really?
Yes.
Attention golfers, if you're looking to upgrade your game with a set of high-quality clubs that are blazing fast beyond forgiving and beautifully made, check out the all-new PXG Gen 6 golf clubs. Not only are they easy to hit, they deliver outstanding distance and incredible accuracy, lowering your scores and bringing you more fun on the golf course. What more could you want? Schedule your Gen 6 fitting today at pxg.com or by calling 844-PLAY-PXG.
Yes, even at 56 or 55.
For Steve Stricker.
Well, look at the categories.
Yeah.
I mean, he's one in putting. Yeah. He's one in scrambling. I think he's second in greens and regulation. He's one in fairways hit. He's doing so many great things. It's just that the focus should be on the young guys, and it is. But Steve Stricker would have been an asset last week.
Is, by the way, on right here in par three, he was over there and got it up and down.
On a downhill.
I mean,
that's strip right
that's
there.
That's how good it is.
Yeah.
And again, 80% of the matches are team format.
Yeah.
I think you would have been a great teammate.
But final question. All right, I've given Luke a lot of credit.
Luke Donald.
Is the captain getting too much credit after the Ryder Cup? And I know Zach's taking a little bit of a beating after the Ryder Cup. Is he getting too much of that? Are we putting too much into the captain in what they do. And I know they work hard. I know, I get it. Like, it's, this is a job. I mean, this goes on for, there's a reason why they pick it, and they have a couple years, right?
Right.
So I don't discount that. But I know that the players, and I've been around this game long enough, I know that the magic is made by the player. The player hits the shots, period. In a discussion, they make it happen. So are we giving Luke too much credit, and are we beating up Zach too much?
Well, I don't think Zach deserves any second guessing. I mean, he put together his team. The players at the end of the day have to go out and make the putts. Mm-hmm. That's the key. That's the biggest momentum shifter in the game. It's Justin, making a putt.
Justin Rose was the best putter of the 24 guys.
Yeah.
I mean, no disrespect. Justin Rose is a good putter, but Justin Rose is not a great putter.
Well,
he's not Steve Stricker.
I only watched afternoon session because it was our morning, right? But I just saw the first 2 days, the Europeans making a lot of putts, and the USA team, Cantley made a lot of good putts. Yeah. But we missed a lot. And that's tough. I mean, I think that, and it's, we quickly forget, we crushed them 2 years ago. Yeah. On U.S. soil, and I don't think Padraig Harrington deserved any blame. The Americans played great.
Mm-hmm.
It was basically kind of the same captaincy group that was at Whistling Straits. Yeah. So I think everybody rallied around Zach, and Zach's a world-class human being.
He's
just the best. Mm-hmm. So I think yes.
What's Zach, 40?
He's probably 47.
Okay, so he's getting close. He's in that tough window in the right now. He's in that tough window.
I'll tell you, he'll do well out
here. He's going to do well here. Yeah, he is. Hey, thanks for your time.
You bet, Travis.
Really appreciate you coming out here.
Yep.
All right. Good luck tomorrow.
Thank you.